It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 15, and we're going to begin reading with the 18th verse, Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, and we're going to read through the 12th verse of the next chapter. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. You'll find us at the website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Again, visit us our website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And I want you to please feel free to write to us or to visit us at the site. It'd be just fine. And you'll find our email address and everything there if you would like to get a hold of us. I'm glad that you've taken a few minutes today to join us. And hopefully you can sit and listen. If you're traveling, why, that's just fine. I'm glad to have you. And so please that you enjoy the study today as we look together through this precious word that we can enjoy each and every minute as we come together studying God's Word. Now, Genesis. I'm on both ends of the book, aren't I? Genesis chapter 15, verse 18. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, the Kenzites, the Kadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephrams, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Now to verse 1 of chapter 16. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaiden, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath constrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. He went in unto Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be unto thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and even she saw that she had conceived, and was despised in her eyes, and the Lord judged between me and thee. The Lord judged between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleased thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face, and the angel found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, hence camest thou? Whither thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, shalt bear a son, shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man, his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of God's Word. Father, please that you would strengthen us and guide and lead us as we enjoy studying this word today. It's wonderful to open your book and to spend time together with you. So please, Lord, you guide and lead us and straighten all these words around that we may understand exactly what we need to learn and to know today. And I thank you for it. I thank you for all that are listening today, and bless and use them, Lord, please. Bring them to you. If they do not know you as their Savior, direct them to the cross of Calvary where you died for them. Lord Jesus, please touch every heart today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're looking at these verses of Scripture today, and we have just come through a beautiful picture of the cross of Calvary in the last section of this 15th chapter. And last time, why we have been through the dark, and it was dark and smoky furnace and burning lamp, and passed between both pieces, the covenant was made. And a covenant was made between the Lord God and Abram, but it was all God's doing, and I don't want you to miss that. And the promise that comes for salvation, that we can be saved, that too all comes from God's doing. The only thing we do is respond whenever the Spirit of God deals with us, talks to our heart. We need to turn to Him. And that is the end of our responsibility. We turn to Him and accept what He has made and done for us. And that is He has made a means for us to get our relationship back together with God the Father. That's what Jesus the Son has done. He has given us a means to have our sins forgiven. And we have to have our sins forgiven in order to be back in relationship with God the Father. And it has given us this opportunity at a price that all can afford. It's not by money. It's not by a certain ability that we have. It's by us listening and responding to the Spirit of God as it directs us to the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Please that you come. And again, the place that you will meet Him is the cross of Calvary. That's what this last section was talking about and giving us a beautiful picture of the coming of the judgment of God upon sin and the love of God and the redemption that God is providing us through the cross of Calvary, all done with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, we find here the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram and said to him, and He gives him the borders. He gives him the size of the land that his descendants will dwell in and possess. And so we have that in these next verses of Scripture here. You take the Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims, the Amorites, Canaanites, Girgashites, and the Jebusites. Now, all those ites and sites we need to look into and understand that is speaking of the borders that the land that they will be able to possess. Maybe one of the only things that you really understood was a little part here, unto the seed have I given thee, that from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Probably if you'd look on a map, that would be something that would be easy for you to find. Also, you could sure find the Amorites and the Canaanites. Those are very easy to find. Hittites, there's several in there that are familiar, that they know where they lived and the land they possessed. So that helps you to see the promise that's given unto Abram. Not only was it a beautiful picture of Calvary, but then immediately following that, did we receive this beautiful covenant, this promise, and I will give this land to your seed. Now, that's kind of where we pick up then when we look at the first verse of chapter 16, because you see, Abram has no seed. We tried once before with Eliezer, if you remember, their servant. He has a son. That would be just fine. Let's call him ours and off we go. We'll be just fine. God said no. Now we come again here, and time has passed, and as time passes, and Abram and Sarai become older and come to the place where they're unable, almost to the place that they're unable, they're too old to bear children. Well, it says here in verse 1 of chapter 16, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, And she had a handmaiden, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Now, I want to look just a couple of things here as we enjoy this picture. To begin with, notice where she's from. She is from Egypt. When do you think Abram got her? Where did Sarai get this handmaiden from and come to be in Abram's house when he went into Egypt? Now, we recall the time when he went into Egypt. He said, now, Sarai, you know, you're a very beautiful woman, and if they know that we're married, they'll just kill me and take you, so please just say that you're my sister. And that's kind of how it took place. Well, it all come to light down the line and found out that that wasn't the case. And Pharaoh wanted Sarai, and God did not allow that to take place. And all of a sudden, why, there was things happening to Pharaoh and to Egypt that was a result of God bringing judgment upon them and the land because of Abram. And so he sent Abram and all that he possessed out. Well, that's where he got Hagar. So to begin with, Hagar should not have been there, but she was. Now Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I have no children, Abram. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, that it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. So let's look at verse 2. Sarai said unto Abram, now behold, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Yes, that's true. But each time that the promise had come forth, it was clear that it was going to come through Sarai and Abram, not through a handmaiden, not through a servant's child. It was to come through them. But you see, we're walking by faith, aren't we? And you know, we don't do that very well. We tend to walk by sight, not by faith. And they couldn't figure it out. And so how about you? Are you to that place where you can't figure things out, but you refuse to come by faith to Jesus Christ? You've heard, somebody has told you, maybe you've heard over this program, that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, and you need to come by faith. Now, can you see, physically, literally see the cross of Calvary? Can you see the Lord Jesus Christ as he died on that cross 2,000 years ago for you? No, you can't. Now, the pictures and the movies have tried to portray it, but that's no good either. Because, you see, then we get this picture in our mind of what it looked like, and we have no idea what it looked like, nor what Jesus looks like, nor the pain and the agony that Jesus Christ suffered as he died for us on Calvary. He died for our sin. He took all of our sin upon him when he died. Now, that cannot be portrayed. No one can show that, and they shouldn't try. We're to walk by faith. And so, can you see it? No, you can't. You must come by faith to Jesus Christ. Sarai was having some trouble walking by faith. Abraham wasn't far behind her in the lack of faith. Because here was this opportunity, and you say, boy, that's a strange thing to do. I mean, to have a housekeeper or a handmaiden that is within the household and says, well, since we don't have children, why don't you go into her, and if she has a child, why then we'll call that this promised child that God has said he would give us, and then we'll begin to raise that child and love that child and rear that child just like he was ours. Well, as we come to this picture, we find Sarai did not believe God. She did not believe that God could do it, and so she set out to do it upon her own means. Different than today, it is common at this time, or somewhat common anyway. I don't know, you know, to say that it was very commonplace, I'm not going to say that, but it was something that did happen. It was somewhat common that if they had no children, in order for the line of that, for Abram's line to continue, they would either bring Eliezer's son in to that place, and God said no to that already. And now we come with another plan, and that isn't that what we do? We just keep coming up with more plans. One of these plans are going to work. We're just going to keep trying until it works. Well, we need to seek the Lord's will and ask Him to bless us and ask Him to lead us. Well, here we have this Abram's wife, Sarai, and she has this handmaiden, this maid of Hagar, and she looks around and maybe the next door neighbor where they live. It was the same situation. Maybe they weren't able to have children, and they took the handmaiden, and she had a child, and everything was fine. So that's great. You know, hey, let's do that. Or it could be that Sarai and Abram were getting a little bit worried here. Time is passing. Abram says, you know, God says He promises us a child, you know, that there must be something wrong with you, Sarai. Because there's certainly nothing wrong with me, but there's a reason why we're not having children, so it must be you, Abram would say. Well, Sarai could say the same thing. See, there's nothing wrong with me. It's you that is unable to father a child. So they could have blamed each other for it. And you see, something would be answered here by bringing Hagar in. Because Hagar could come and go in with Abram, and if there's not a child born, then Sarai can say, Abram, I told you. I told you it was your problem. But it kind of backfired, didn't it? Because when Abram went in to Hagar, she became with child. So all of a sudden now, it's not Abram's problem. It's Sarai's. And you see, the truth is known, it's not Sarai's problem. It's just not God's time yet. We need to wait on God's time. Be patient. That's something that none of us possess enough of, is patience. We desire to move quickly. We desire to things go at the speed that we would like them to go, and we just, that's just the way we deal with it. We want it to move. We want it to move very quickly. And so here's the way it's going to work. That's a problem. It's a problem when our time and God's time is not together. And I'm safe to say that that's majority of the time, that God's time and our time is not together. It's because we don't seek God's time. We don't seek God's will. We don't seek God's direction and His strength. We need to do that. Abram and Sarai had had so many wonderful promises from God. Here's how many the descendants you're going to have, and we have examples through the Scripture of the sea, the sand of the sea. If you could count the parts of sand, then you could count the descendants of Abram. If you can count the stars in the sky, then you can count. And you could be able to number the descendants of Abram and Sarai. And then we find that in that same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, unto thy seed have I given this land. And then He gives the size, He gives the borders of that land to Abram and to Sarai. And yet we find soon, and we find quickly, that they conjure up another plan. And that plan is involving Hagar. Well, that plan, as I said, backfired. Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and again, it was custom of the day. So don't say, well, that was, you know, I'd never do something like, it was the custom of the day. How many things did we have adapted that it's against the will of God, but it's the custom of the day? You think about those things. He went into Hagar, and she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes, and Sarai said to Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, and the Lord judge between me and thee. And Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dwelt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way of Shur. As this kind of come to pass, and Hagar was with child, and Sarai was upset about what had happened, and she goes to Abram and says, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have suggested that. Well, Abram shouldn't have done it either, you know. And so we're looking at two people here, Sarai and Abram. They're the men of faith, people of faith, and they have walked by faith, and they have questioned God from time to time, but so do we. But they come to this time in their life, and they're getting to the place again that they're going to be unable to bear children. And so they came up with another plan, and that plan, as I said, backfired. So she comes to Abram, and, "My wrong be unto thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom." And when she saw that she had conceived, so it was evident that she was with child, "I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee." What has Hagar been able to do that Sarai couldn't do? Give Abram a child. So you see, now there's friction between the two. There's conflict between the two. Because Hagar could do something Sarai couldn't. Sometimes when we continue to come up with a plan, sometimes when we force that plan, God says, okay, if this is the plan that you want, I'll let you have a little room here. And you know, sometimes we have just enough room to hang ourselves, don't we? And I'm afraid that that's, you know, the rope was just long enough. Well, that's kind of what happened here. They kept seeking a way and not listening and not walking by faith. Oh, we need to ask the Lord to help us to walk by faith. Abram, the father of the nation of Israel. Abram, the father of our faith. And yet we find he, as we do, fall quite often. And when we do fall, it's because we set out to kind of do what we want to do. God's time is not our time. God's will, many times, is not our will. We need to seek His will. We need to seek His time and stay true to it. It's a good statement, isn't it? But it's impossible to follow. But we can, day by day, draw closer to Him, closer to the Lord Jesus, closer that He may begin to get victory. And we have noticed that, and we're going to come up to a time here when Abram's going to be 99 years old. And God's going to fulfill that promise. So you see, just because of this mistake, God's word is good. God made the promise, "I will give you a child." And He can carry it out even when Abram and Sarai are beyond years and beyond the time of childbearing. They had a plan. The plan backfired. Sarai goes to Abram and says, "I have wronged you." And the reason that she goes to Abram, I believe, is because I think that Hagar was flaunting what she had that Sarai couldn't have. And that was a child. Abram, he just said to Sarah, "She's your maid. Whatever you want to do with her, you do. I don't care." That's the way, it's kind of a strange way for Abram to treat Hagar, because she was with his child. The old books of the Bible and the verses in the Scripture, the words in the Scripture sound much like today, doesn't it? Doesn't sound much different. God chose to record all so that we could hear and see, as even a strong man of God, the man of faith, Abram, would make mistakes. We could say he shouldn't have listened to Sarai's voice. We could have said that Sarai shouldn't have come up with that idea. It's kind of like back with Adam and Eve. Adam shouldn't have listened to Eve. As we look here at this scripture, no matter who listened to who, the husband, the man of the house, is the spiritual leader. And he should be that leader. And we find him following instead of listening and leading. Abram said unto Sarai, verse 6, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. When Sarai dwelt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Sarai was very upset that this could take place. She found out that she thought she was the problem. Abram must be all right because here's his child. Instead of realizing that they had missed the Lord's will, and then they were just to wait, simply to wait. And now we find as she fled, the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. When we enjoy in the scripture a statement, the angel of the Lord is most likely the pre-incarnate Christ. The pre-incarnate Christ. The angel of the Lord found her by the fountain of water. Jesus found her there. He said to Hagar, Sarai's maid, Hence camest thou, whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. And the angel of the Lord, remember who that is, said unto her, Return to thy mistress, submit thyself unto her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitudes. In other words, I have given a promise to Abram, and that's going to come through his son, the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky, but two, yours will be so great that it cannot be numbered. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Now, when we come together next time, we're going to take a look at who that is. We know that Abram and Sarai will give birth to a son, and his name will be Isaac. And we know Isaac gives birth to a son, and his name is Jacob. And we know that God changes Jacob's name to Israel. And Israel, Jacob, gives birth to 12 sons. And their names carry the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. So what about Ishmael? What happens to Ishmael? God's promise here is thy seed exceedingly. Multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitudes. That's the level, that's the number that's going to be there. Who is that? We have quite a description of him, don't we? He will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. So we've learned a little bit about this man and his descendants, Ishmael's. But who is it? I want you to do some work between now and the next time we get together. See if you can find out who the descendants of Ishmael. You'll find this very day it still exists. This fight. Wild man. His hand will be against every man. You'll find that's carried out today. So, my dear friend, you do your homework. We'll meet next time. We've talked about the Lord Jesus. We've talked about how even a man of faith as Abram can go and do his own thing. Same thing we do. We need to ask the Lord to forgive us. We need to walk a walk that's pleasing to Him. But first, we must ask Jesus to come into our heart and save us. What are you going to do about Jesus?